If you have your Bibles today, turn with me to Proverbs. Proverbs, it's right after Psalms, chapter 2, and we'll start from our passage from there in just a minute. But as our praise team indicated, this is the last day of this year. Tomorrow we'll start a new year. Are you ready for it? Some of you are, some of you aren't quite yet, but it'll get there one way or the other. I know one week a Sunday school teacher just finished telling her class about the Christmas story, and after the story, the teacher asked the students, she said, "Who do you think is the most important woman in the Bible?" After talking about the Christmas story and all. The little boy raised his hand and said, "I believe Eve is." The teacher asked him, "Why do you think Eve is the most important woman in the Bible?" And the little boy said, "Well, they named 2 days in the year after Eve. I mean, you know, Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve." But, you know, guys have just a different way of looking at things. Certainly different than a woman does. You know, all of us have resolutions for this new year. I mean, like the woman who walked in her bathroom at home and when she saw her husband weighing himself on the bathroom scales and he was sucking in his stomach. And the woman thought to herself, "He thinks he's going to weigh less if he sucks in his stomach." So the woman sarcastically says to her husband, she said, "I'm sorry, dear, but that's just not going to help." And the husband says, "Sure it will." He says, "That's the only way I can see the numbers." So we have a different way of looking at things. But we all desire to have those people who encourage us as well in our life and all the things we do in our everyday life and our work and our home and certainly in our walk with Christ. This morning I'd like to read and to speak to you this morning about people, places, and times of blessing. And I'd like to start off our passage in Proverbs chapter 2, verses 6 through 9. And if you look at me there, or look at with me there, it says, "For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright, and he is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice, and he preserves the way of his godly ones. Then you will discern righteousness and justice and equity and every good course." I believe that there can be an impartation, or that which has to do with the giving and receiving of spiritual gifts, of the blessings and of the healings, and along with the other works of the ministry. And it's these transference of the gifts from one man or woman of God to the other, especially when we lay hands on people to do this. But more than when you do it in a service, or more than when you do it after you hear a sermon or a great praise session, that there can be an impartation in your life today, this afternoon, this evening. You could have received an impartation earlier this year, or maybe even the new year coming up. But it's so critical that when we do, to understand that these right voices in our life can really make a difference in what we hear. Because if we don't get the right voices in our life, then we're not going to make the right choices. And if we don't understand and make the right connections in life, then you won't reach the right destinations to where you need to go, and therefore miss out, because everything is connected. And it's very important to have those right people in your life, and if you're going to have God's blessing upon your life, because God uses people. Nobody's ever received a check that I know of, received and signed by Jehovah Jireh. I mean, he's always used somebody to do that. Now, I know God is our source, but he always uses somebody. And we need to pray for those spiritual relationships or those spiritual connections in our life. A spiritual relationship or a spiritual connection is God's blessing to you for the transition a lot of times. Mostly spiritually, sometimes physically, but mostly spiritually. Whenever God wants to transition you from one place in your life to another, he'll put in your life a spiritual connection or a spiritual relationship, because there are people who are many times that you will encounter have done what you're trying to do. And we have been through that already And what you have not yet seen or still trying to achieve or aspire to, they have done there and been there, and they can help you get it to that point. And they have the ability to reach back and to grab you and to pull you through, to expedite you on your journey in amazing ways. And it's all about who you get around. If you get around the right people, they can unlock that potential that God has put inside of you, just the same as people can do the opposite effect as well. They can kill your dream. They can cause you to abandon your purpose and abandon your plan and that very thing that God has placed in your heart to do. If you get around the wrong people, they can hinder your assignment from God and even delay the calling in your life that He has for you. But then there's other people like Mary. When she was around Elizabeth in Luke chapter 1, when she was around Elizabeth, the Bible said in Luke chapter 1, verse 41, that John the Baptist, who was the baby in Elizabeth's womb, started leaping whenever Mary came around. And there are some in that same opposite effect that can cause you to abort the baby that you're supposed to give birth to, spiritually speaking. But at the same time, then there's people who can, like Mary, if you get around the right people, they'll just make that baby start leaping. And they'll make your dream say, yes, I can do it. Because God has told me, and they're feeding that part of you which God has imparted into you. And that's why it's so critical to get around the right people in your life. And somebody who's already on that level that you're trying to get to. Because one spiritual relationship can change everything in your life. And that's why I think it's so important that in every day in our life, whenever we talk to God and we pray to God, I think it's important that we seek the discernment that's mentioned here in Proverbs that we just read about, to seek that discernment in our spirit. And that we understand when God wants to bless you, He'll send a person to you. Just the same way as when the devil wants to curse you, he'll send a person to you also. But either way, it's probably going to be a person. And that's why we need that discernment deep down in our spirit in order for us to know who the people are supposed to be in our life. That's why we need the discernment. Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16 says this. He says, From now on we recognize no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know Him in this way no longer. And he goes on and says in Romans 8:5, he says, for those who are according to the flesh has set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit have set their mind on things of the Spirit. Meaning this, that people who walk after the flesh, they'll feed your fear. They'll feed your fear. While the people who walk after the Spirit will feed your faith. Flesh people tear you down, but faith people will build you up. Flesh people will drain you of your energy. They'll drain you of your time. They'll make you go around that mountain just one more time. But Spirit people, they can make your baby leap. And they can make your dream leap, and they can speak something inside of you that will release your potential that you have. And they'll cause you to have a great purpose and a great calling in your life from God. For example, when Saul of Tarsus, he needed a life change, God put into his life a man by the name of Ananias. And Ananias was the right man at the right place at the right time. And God said, I want you to go lay your hands on this man because he's a chosen vessel. And I know he doesn't look like it, and I know he has a shady past that everyone's scared of, but you are going to be Ananias, the spiritual connection, the relationship that will practically turn his life around from the way he knows it now. And so Ananias, he went and he laid hands on Saul. And your Bible says in Acts chapter 9, verse 18, he says, immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. And all of us need somebody in life that when we pray to and we talk to them, that we begin to see things right. We start seeing the things in our life the way we should see them, instead of just the way that we want to see them. I mean, you're blessed when God brings someone like that into your life. Someone who can help you see right, to where the scales fell off of his eyes. Saul of Tarsus became, by the power of God, the great apostle Paul, who would go on to do so many amazing things. And even when Paul wanted to start preaching, he's got the scales off of his eyes and he's got a new revelation and he wants to preach. The Bible said in Acts chapter 9 that nobody in the church would even want to hear him preach. They wouldn't want to give him a chance to preach because they were so terrified that he had persecuted Christians. He'd killed some in the past. He'd watched some of them die. He was there when Stephen was stoned. Stephen was a great man of faith. And so what happened is the Bible said in Acts 9:27 that there was a man by the name of Barnabas. Again, a spiritual connection. A person of blessing. He was the right man at the right place at the right time. And Barnabas had something in him because he says to the apostles, he says, I want you to trust this guy. And I want you to let him speak on my behalf. I'll vouch for him. Barnabas stood behind Saul and he convinced the apostles of Saul's potential, even when he didn't have any right there before the church. They wouldn't trust him. Barnabas was convinced that this man really has something to say and you really got to hear it. And so Barnabas actually opens the door for Saul or Paul to provide him the opportunities and to provide him the places that Saul was then able to go, where he couldn't have ever gone by himself because of his reputation that followed him, because he had this spiritual relationship or connection with Barnabas. I mean, you've heard Pastor Adam tell you of our two missionary journeys to Guatemala. The fact is, you know, he wouldn't have gone without me to help open the door. But the fact is, I would have never gone without him. I mean, I would have never taken it upon myself to go to South America to a mission school where a bunch of children were, knowing that that's the, you know, place where all the drug lords are and everything like that. It's just not a place that I would necessarily want to go. But yet when a person of blessing or a spiritual connection is in your life, it opens the door. A person of blessing or as a connection in your life, you'll be able to do things that you never ever thought that you could do. Let me tell you, when you get blessed and when you start believing and you start seeing that God has people who can knock those scales off of your eyes and God has people who can bridge for you the circumstances and the places that you could never get to by yourself. I mean, your name may never be known to anybody or nobody has ever heard of you, just like nobody ever knew that Paul could preach the way he preached. No one would have ever known about Paul if Barnabas wasn't there to open the door for him. But you know what great preaching that Paul was able to go through his epistles. And then he comes, here comes this man, and he says, I'll be your connection. And it was Barnabas. And then later on, even in his ministry, the apostle Paul, like many of us do, we get discouraged. And he goes through tremendous warfare and he goes through tremendous trials in his life. And he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 15, he says, I had conflicts on the outside and I had fears on the inside. Ever had a day like that? I mean, conflicts on the outside where there's so much stuff going on around you with your job, your family, your health. And even worse than that, you have fears on the inside to accompany that. There's doubting your own ability, doubting your own faith, maybe even doubting your own mind sometimes because you feel like you're going crazy. But that's when you know it's a bad day. You know it's a bad day when the enemy is not just fighting you externally, but he's fighting you internally as well. Conflicts on the outside and fears on the inside. I know many of you here are great saints and have a great strong faith. But then we have things in our life that causes us fear sometimes. Tries to shake us and get us off our balance. But then listen to what God did in verse 6 of 2 Corinthians chapter 7. It says, to get him through this rough season when Paul was just kind of about to quit. He said, nevertheless, God sent me Titus to me, and he encouraged me in the work of the Lord. Now, Titus is that little bitty book in your Bible in the New Testament that many blow past a lot of times, but he's an important fellow. He was in Paul's eyes. And it's amazing how God would use someone out of nowhere, someone who nobody even heard of, to be used for his work. But Paul said, Titus encouraged me. When I was about to throw in the towel, when I was about to quit, God gave me a spiritual connection. He gave me an encouragement, and he encouraged me in the Lord. I know many times, Pastor Adam and I, we get a text from Tim on Mondays. He encourages us. He gives us a prayer through a text. I know Jan Murray continually lifts us up in prayer. She texts us and encourages us, tells us to keep going. I know many of you personally have told both Pastor Adam and I, you know, you're doing good. Just keep doing what you are in the Lord. I mean, people understand that. People know it. People see it. And so those are great encouragements. And I'm telling you today that God has people of blessing. Even when you get discouraged, just start looking around and God will start sending people. And if you don't know which direction to go, then God can send somebody out of nowhere to remove those scales that was there, something that was there all the time and you just didn't see it. If you're in a situation where you can't get your foot in the door or you just can't get in because it seems like everywhere you turn, you're blocked out of here, you're blocked out of there, and the doors are just shut. But God says, I have for you those right people, people of blessing like Barnabas, who can bridge open that gap and open doors that you can't really seem to open for yourself. And that's when God will start sending people a blessing in your life. Secondly, there's places of blessing, not just people of blessing, but places of blessing. God told the prophet Elijah in 1 Kings 17, he says, buddy, there's a famine coming, and I want you to go to this brook at Cherith, because I've commanded the ravens to feed you there. Well, notice that it's a specific place. If Elijah would have gone anywhere else, the ravens probably wouldn't have fed him, and he would have been trying to chase rabbits or something to try to kill him on his own. If Elijah would have gone anywhere else other than the brook at Cherith, he probably would have starved to death. But the brook at Cherith was a place of blessing. God was telling Elijah that my blessing is connected to this place and I'll provide for you. But you've got to go there. You've got to go where the place of blessing is. Some may say, well, you know, I could just go anywhere I want to. I can go out and worship God in the trees, on the lake, or whatever. Everything's just going to work out fine because I just love God. Me and him are just like that. They're absolutely wrong, really. I mean, if Elijah would have gone anywhere else, the ravens, the Bible said, brought to him meat in one claw and bread in another. That's a sandwich, by the way. And every morning and every evening, he was there by the brook to wash it down. And if he was to go anywhere else, God said, no. He said, the blessing is over there, and you need to go over there. But if we go somewhere else, other than there, if we stay here, if we just sit here, then you're going to be in tremendous need. God has a there for you. A there, which is a place of blessing, which God will provide for you. And when you get in that place, then God will provide. God will provide. Many of you have came to prayer of faith. And this is your place of blessing. And God has blessed you tremendously here. You know what? He may even choose to use a dirty bird to do it. I'm not talking about Lake Thunderbird. Dirty birds. You see, in Deuteronomy 14, verses 11 through 14, God tells his people, he says, don't mess with those ravens. They're unclean birds. They're just nasty creatures. Sometimes God will use hell to bring heaven to you. I mean, all through the Bible, God uses evil to fulfill his purposes, but because God is so powerful that even the devil has to be under his rule. That means God can use an evil employer. God can use an evil corporation, a company. He can use an evil individual to put you into the place that he wants to be. Don't ever think that you're so spiritual that you miss him using the ravens in your life to address that need in your life. Those are unclean birds. They're nasty creatures. Don't ever think that everybody who's going to bless you has to be a Christian. Everybody that's going to bless you has to go to church. Everybody that's going to bless you has to be on a certain level. The raven was an unclean bird. God said, if I'll use that little dirty bird, then I'm going to provide for you in your place of blessing. Well, where was these ravens getting this meat and bread every morning, night and day? Remember now, they're in a famine. And the only place I can think of, someone who's rich enough to eat meat and bread, was probably King Ahab and his wife Jezebel. I mean, they probably had it sitting there on the table after they were done eating with it, the leftovers, and this dirty bird. They'd fly in there through the windows and or through the window place and just land on the table and rip it up and fly back out. I'm sure King Ahab may have caught him a couple of times and swatted at him and took it back to feed Elijah the prophet. So if you get in the right place, then God will even make the devil bless you. He'll make the dirty birds bless you, because you cannot curse that which God has blessed. And when you're in a place of blessing and you're in a place that you're supposed to be, the enemy cannot stop it, no matter what he tries to do. If you're in that particular place of blessing God wants you to be. So Elijah, he's got his meat and his bread. He just sits back every morning and evening. The ravens, like UPS, they come drop it off right there in his place of blessing. Elijah's saying, thank you very much, Lord. I give you the praise. And he eats the sandwich and along with his bread and meat, and he has water there to drink from the brook, all because he's in his place of blessing. But I can just see this, what happens next. Elijah's thinking, you know, I've really got this down. Got plenty of water. I've got meat. I've got bread. I think I'm just going to have to teach others how to do this. How to get the birds to feed you and the river to flow in your time of famine. Matter of fact, I think that's going to be my number one New York Times bestseller. I'm going to even put out a brand new teaching series about it. I may even become a life coach. And just about the time that he thinks he's got it down, the Bible says that the brook dried up and the birds quit flying. And God was saying to him, he says, when the brook grows dry, then it's time to go back to your source. Your source isn't the brook. And your source isn't the bird, but rather your source is God. Don't go to God looking for a miracle, but instead go to God for a relationship. Because if you have a relationship with God, then I have news for you, and that is you'll experience a miracle every day. Because it's all connected to God, all connected to Him. I'm referring to places of blessings, places of blessings. I mean, look at Zarephath, where Elijah met the widow. Of course, the brook of Cherith, where the ravens were feeding him. The places of blessings. And then even when you read in the Old Testament about Elijah, you have Elijah and then you have Elisha. And Elisha said, I want a double portion of blessing of what you have. And Elijah told him in 2 Kings chapter 2, he says, if you're with me at the right place, at the right time, and I'm the right person, then when I go up, then my mantle will fall down, and you'll get your double portion. But it's going to be dependent upon you being at the right place of blessing with the right people in the right time. And you see, that's where many people miss out. They go to church and attend churches. They attend, and there'll be times when they get offended, or you can get mad at a person. even get hurt, and then they leave. There are plenty of other churches around to look for. But they won't get anywhere where they're going 5 years from now, and they'll still be sitting outside of their destiny that God has for them, because they just don't get it, that place of blessing. We need to learn to respect the spiritual relationships in our life and the spiritual connections that God places in our life. They're very important. And yes, we all are emotional people. We'll get mad, we'll get hurt, we'll get offended at times, but that doesn't mean you got to leave. The Bible said in 1 Kings 19, verse 21, when Elisha first began following Elijah, it says that he broke the plow. After seeing what Elijah does, he says, I want to follow you. And he breaks the plow. And he did it on purpose, because that plow for his family was, for generations, was his security. But sometimes when God's going to do a work so magnificent in your life, it'll require you to break the plow to follow him. It'll say, I know you feel secure in this area, and I know you feel comfortable, and this is your form of self-blessing, and this is kind of what you depend on. But God, when he reveals something to you, it'll be so magnificent to make you want to break the plow. It may be repentance. Many have said, I'm sorry, but they've never repented. They become callous to it, you see, and they don't see their need to repent for it, because they've said, I'm sorry. It may be a deeper walk with him. God's calling you to say, I need you to come this way now. I know that you've been here, but let's go over here. It's a deeper walk. It may be a call of discipleship. A little bit more in depth. I need you to start serving me in areas now. I know you've heard about the teaching. I need you to start serving. But whatever's hindering you back from that, once you break it, once you break that plow, it no longer becomes a problem. And this is how God has always done it. And there's a double portion that comes with that breaking the plow. And God tells you to break the plow. So Elisha begins to follow Elijah. And the first place they go to is Bethel. And Bethel means house of God. Because this is the place, that's where God showed Jacob's ladder, where the angels were ascending and descending down up and down the ladder. And that's where in Genesis chapter 28, verse 17, where Jacob says, I have found the gate of heaven. Do you understand that your church is the gate of heaven in your life? You understand that what God would do for you in this place of blessing, in a place like, or a setting like this, is like heaven's gate. And you see all his angels. And some of you have seen it. I've seen you while you're praising God. It's almost like you're there and heaven himself is right before you, taking needs up while blessings are coming down. And it doesn't happen by you doing your own thing either. When God assigns you to a house, it's a place of blessing, it's a gate of heaven, and you don't need to treat that casually. You don't need to put other things ahead of it. It's the gate of heaven for your life. And then after that, Elijah goes to a place called Gilgal with Elijah. Gilgal is a place where Elisha had to be recircumcised. Now, have you ever thought of circumcision as a happy feeling about it? God, are you sure you want me to go here? But notice sometimes that a place of blessing can be a place of pain. That when God is going to do something, we don't always think of it as a place of blessing or a fun place or an enjoyable place. We don't ever think of any pains ever going to be there, but sometimes it'll hurt to be in the place of blessing. You get your feelings hurt, you'll get your emotions hurt. You'll get your mind hurt, and then you want to quit and give up. But stay where God tells you to stay. And get hold of your flesh and just determine that within yourself is, you're not going to talk me out of it. I'm here, and I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. And you push through that anger. You push through that bitterness. You push through that gossip, and you start little by little dying to those things. And then in 2 Kings chapter 2, Elijah takes Elisha to Jericho. And Jericho was where Elisha saw Elijah taken up. And he receives his mantle there. And it's so important to understand that one plan from God, that one idea from God can change your life. One idea can even change the world. When you need a miracle, God will give you a plan, and it's going to be scriptural. So whenever you look at that plan and know that you have a divine right to it because it's the Word of God. And when you come up with a plan and it's not in line with the Word, then it's probably not from Him. Maybe from eating too much peanut butter sandwiches and bananas. I don't know. But that plan will always have a plan of instruction, a set of instructions with it. And it'll always be in line with the Word of God. I mean, about Jericho, I mean, even God said to Joshua in the book of Joshua chapter 6, He says, "You're the right man for the right place. Now, here's the right time." He says, "I want you to march around Jericho 7 times, 1 time each day." Probably took all day for all those million of people to march around that city. But he says, on the 7th day, I want you to blow your trumpet, and then I want you to shout, and then all the walls will fall down. But it wouldn't have happened. It wouldn't have happened, and it's not just the right place of blessing, and it's not just being with the right people all the time. It was the right time that he did that. God's plan for us is $1 out of 10. That's the tithe. God's plan for us is 1 day out of 7. That's worship. That's God's plan for the family. Now, are you going to be that person who God supernaturally provides for by bringing people, places, and times of blessing into your life? Or are you going to get off the path, the right path that He has for you in your life? There's a little bird in Kentucky. It's called the killdeer bird. And it builds its nest right beside the road where there's a lot of gravel a lot of times next to the road. And the eggs, matter of fact, they look like gravel. They're white with gray speckles on it. And the children who walk or ride their bikes along the road, they love to come and snatch them up because they're just like treasures what they find, or Easter egg hunting. But it's interesting, though, that whenever you come close to her nest, the killdeer will move off and act like her wing is broke. So you want to try to reach out there and grab her. And so the killdeer bird will start fluttering one wing, and it'll make you think that its wing is broken. And each time you get close to the killdeer bird, it'll move off a little further off until she gets you farther enough away from her nest to be safe, and then she just flies off. Well, the enemy does the same thing to us. He shows us things that make us want to look like we can just grab them. And if we just go a little further along, we can capture it. But instead, what he's doing, he's moving us further and further away. And he's moving us further away from the right people, the right places, and the timing God's plan for you. And just when you're farther enough away from God's plan for you to receive that blessing that he has for you, the enemy will just fly off, leaving you all alone, scratching your head. Now, how many of you are ready for God's will, God's plan for people and places in your life to bless you? I mean, you may feel that brook is dried up. You may feel that the meat and bread is no longer there, and God needs to get a new set of instructions to me. Now, this year may have been a rough year for many of you. I know it has for many of you here, including my family as well. It's been rough. And I think this coming year, coming up, God's wanting us to move to a different level in the times ahead, to give us a specific plan that we can follow it in, so that he can bring things in our life to pass that he wants us to know. And especially for the season in our life, a time of renewal. This morning, after we close, if you'd like any form of prayer, of healing, of encouragement, of direction, we'll be happy to pray with you. Just come right up here, or just seek us out after service. We'll be happy to do that. If you have never asked Jesus into your life, we'd be happy to help you usher that in with you. Please join me as we pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word and the praises that were sung this morning to glorify you, Father. We ask that you speak life into us today, Father. We pray that you give us the people and the places and the times of blessing so that we may know your will. And Father, in each one of us, there's a puzzle piece. And one by one, when we walk and when we work and when we play and when we speak and when we live, we can see those individual pieces moving into place. And we continue to seek after your will, piece by piece, to place the right people in our lives, to put us in the right times and places of blessing. And so I'm asking blessing, Father, on all of us here today. Each one of us have a life outside of these walls when we leave here today. I know we all have hurts that we need, and there's some very real hurts that people are coping with and needs of others that we need to help meet those needs, Father. And so I ask that you take that stirring of love that we have for each other to help meet those needs, to be that special person in their life, to guide us, our steps, to be faithful friends and even extensions of your love, Father, to those who are seated beside us, to those who are sitting across the aisle from us, to those who are sitting behind us and in front of us, Father. Let us be a blessing, Father. And Lord, we believe that you will provide for us. And we look forward in the ways that you're going to surprise us, Father, and amaze us with your great faithfulness. And the lives that you're going to touch, and the people who you will use in this room, who will brighten the dark spaces and lift up those sad hearts, Father. So bless our time, Father, bless our work, and guide our footsteps and our path and in our progress. And we pray and ask this in the mighty name, our Savior's name, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. And all the church said, Amen.